Good morning. Welcome to worship. It's great that we can be together again and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're just so grateful that you can be tuning into our service this morning. Call to worship this morning comes to us from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his faithfulness continues to all generations. God greets us this morning with these words. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us come together, time of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we gather, and as we begin a new year, we come before you acknowledging that you are such a glorious and loving Father. You are truly worthy of the highest praise and honor. Your love for us overflows abundantly. Nothing we can do makes any sense unless you are in it, and so we gather as your people to give you praise and thank you for all the grace that you have bestowed on our lives. We reflect back on a year gone by and we see that your sustaining love and how that has carried us through the times we felt that we just couldn't go on. And yet you're there to see us through. In our times of joy, we celebrated your love. In our times of sorrow, we were held by you. And so God, what a joy to know that whatever life throws at us, we're never alone. And as we enter into this new year, we pray that according to your great riches, that you will strengthen us with the power of the Holy Spirit at the core of our very being. May Jesus truly dwell in our hearts in all his fullness. May each of us break up that unplowed ground in our hearts that our faith may grow new this year and increase. May our love in our lives increase our love for you, our love for one another, our love for those who've yet not called upon your name. Establish each of us firmly, O Father, in your love. And as we commit to spending more and more time in your holy word, we pray that we will receive power from the Holy Spirit to understand with a greater depth and meaning. Help us to grasp hold of your immeasurable love for us expressed through Christ. For your love is higher than the heavens above the earth and wider than the east is from the west. And so we help us to understand in our weakness this mystery of such a way that it changes us from the inside out. Help it change us so that we're no longer the same tomorrow as we were today. We may be filled with more of you. We pray, O God, that you will push out that self-focused living that's taken up space in our hearts that belong to you alone. Replace it with the fullness of Christ that we may overflow with his love. May each of us increasingly live and move and have our very being in him. How thankful we are, Father, for nothing is too hard for you. You're the God of the impossible, the improbable, able to do more than we can ask or imagine. So forgive our faithless praying in the smallness of our hearts. Give us a fresh realization as we begin this new year of your greatness and glory that causes the faith to rise up within us once again. God-sized dreams, we pray. So boldly we come before you this morning, O God, and we lay before you this pandemic. Not only that it's crippling our country, but the entire world. We pray, O God, as this has affected everyone dramatically, businesses struggling and closing, and healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, teachers, all other essential workers who are under great pressure to offer that care, that hope, that help to others, and yet putting themselves into greater risks daily, as we hear now of a more aggressive strain. Oh God, when will this end, we cry. We think of families who are unable to gather, loved ones who are so lonely, loved ones in care facilities, unable to be with family and friends. And even in the midst of this all, Father, we just lift up to you this morning those who struggling with depression and struggle with just the depths of winter, being unable to enjoy some of the outdoors because of the ice, Father, we pray this morning for churches that are closed, but are able to bring the good news and hope of the gospel to their congregations. In all of this, we are in your care. We pray this morning, O God, for pastors who are unable to minister as they're able. Father, we pray for the pastor that you're calling to Emmanuel. We're so grateful that you will provide in your time. And Father, these are just a few of the requests we lay before you. But, O God, there are prayers that are said in silence. There are prayers that are said out loud. You know them all. May the glory of Jesus be evident in this church community. This day and our living will be defined by your love. Fill us with the confidence so that wherever we are, Jesus may be glorified in and through us. In a world that's struggling around us, we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I would invite you to, if you have your Bibles handy with you, I would invite you to turn to 2 Timothy. We'll be reading from 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. We'll be reading Paul's final charge to Timothy. And before we read God's holy word, let us pray. Holy Spirit, pour out upon us wisdom and understanding, that being taught about you in holy scriptures, that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive all that leads to life and holiness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The word of the Lord. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. The persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and you have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and from how from infancies you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. I have a question for you. What does the Bible do for you? I think for many of us, we would say, well, it is the word of God. And I think some of us might pause for a moment and think, and in order to convey to us what the Bible is and what it does in the believer's life, the writers of the Word of God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, used a number of beautiful metaphors. We worked through the passages of Ephesians this past summer, and we focused on the armor of God, and we understand what Paul was saying when he said, the Word of God is a sword. The sword of God is called a sword because of its piercing ability, operating with equal effectiveness upon sinners, saints, and Satan. Hebrews 4:12, we read, for the word of God is living and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is like a mirror. It's called a mirror because it reflects the mind of God. It's a true condition of men and women. And James 1, 23 to 25 reads, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and intently and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." Here's another example. The word of God is like a seed. And I think we've all heard and read and loved that parable of the sower. And we see that the word of God is called the seed. Because once properly planted, it brings forth life, growth, and fruit. Peter 1 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which abides and lives forever." Here's another example. The word of God is like fire. It's called fire because it's judging and purifying and consuming abilities. Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says, "But his word was in my heart like a burning fire." The word of God is bread. It's like bread because it gives everlasting satisfaction to all those who are hungry. John 6, 51 reads, "I'm the living bread that came down from heaven, and whoever eats of this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Another example is the word of God's like water. Apostle Paul wrote that Jesus Christ, he uses the truth of the word of God to sanctify and cleanse his bride, the body of Christ, in Ephesians 5, 26. I could go on and on, but I think you get the gist where I'm going here, is that the word of God is, here's the other examples. It's a hammer, it's silver, it's lamp, it's honey, it's milk, and even precious gold. But I believe I've made my point and you can see where I'm going. So the question is, what will the Bible do for you? I think today we've lost an awful lot of, lost much of that. We've taken the Bible out of public life in North American culture, and look what's happened to us. Look where we are today because God's word has been removed from the fabric of our society. But far more disastrous than that, the word of God has seemed to have dropped out of the life of many people who claim to be God's people. One comment was made by somebody who said to me one time when I asked, are they reading God's word? And they said, "I read God's word every Sunday and I hear God's word every Sunday," when the pastor opens the Bible and reads it. Today we're beginning a new year, and I want us to focus on a number of reasons why we should refocus on getting back into reading of God's word. If we understand how this book can change our lives, it will continue to change lives as it did yesterday, as it will today, as it will tomorrow. Even this week, the word of God is a powerful tool. It's a change agent in the lives of anyone who takes the word of God seriously. One of my professors said of all the books of psychology and psychiatric was based on the word of God. He went on further to say that he counsels people and he encourages them in his counseling practice, turn to the word of God. But often people say, "Have you got another book written by another professor or doctor that might help?" And he says, every time they would rather pay for a different book than have the word of God given to them for free. So this morning I would like us to look at eight reasons why we should get back into the word of God. I'm sure there's many more and you can think of some, but these are the eight that I've come up with. Number one is it'll promote spiritual growth. Every time this year, I like to take a little inventory and ask myself this question. I don't make resolutions when the year starts, but at the end of the year, I ask myself this question. Have I grown in the Lord this year? Has there been growth in my life? There's absolutely no human way we could ever grow in our faith apart from the personal disciplines of reading and studying the Word of God. There's no other means of growth. Consider what Scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, where we read, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Look at that verse closely. See how the Word of God helps you grow. First, it says the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. It shows you the right way to go. It's profitable then for rebuking. It convicts you when you get off the right path. It's profitable for correction. It gently steers you to get back on that path that you have left. And then it is for training in righteousness, to show you in a positive way how to stay on that path in the future. That, brothers and sisters, is how we grow. And it's a great reason to immerse yourself into God's Word. It'll provide cleansing for your life. How many of you know that we live really in a toxic environment? Not just physically toxic, but if you look around the world and see what's going on, it's spiritually toxic. Everywhere we go and everything that we see appears that someone's trying to put a little something into our hearts and something into our lives that's going to begin to erode our spiritual walk with the Lord. How do we cleanse our lives from that? How do we keep our lives from being overwhelmed by the toxicity of that word in of the world in which we live in? Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 15:3, says this: "You are already clean because of the word spoken to you." The word of God cleanses our hearts. If we bring God into it, it pushes out that toxicity that we've gathered in the world. Cleansing our hearts makes us clean. Listen to what David said in Psalm 119:9. "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word." John 17:17, Jesus prays that this world would be true in his high priestly prayer. He says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Another point is it'll prevent you from sinning. If you spend time in the Word of God, you won't sin nearly as much as if you don't. The Word of God will prevent you from sinning. That's what David said again when he says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The more you are into the word of God, the more sensitive you become to those things that can draw you away from God. It's awfully difficult for you to spend time in the word of God before you begin your day and then walk away from that and violate the principles that you know are part of the truth of God. The Word of God empowers you to do the right things, to make those right decisions, so you don't violate what you know is true. Psalm 119 says, "Direct my footsteps according to your word, and do not let sin rule over me." The more you get into the Word of God, the more you study it, the more it will help you keep away from the things that ultimately will destroy you. It'll protect you from Satan. The Word of God is the greatest protection you can ever have. Of course, someone might say, "Well, I don't believe in Satan." Well, that doesn't make any difference, because Satan is real anyways. Satan is alive. He is well. And we are in a daily warfare with the enemy of our flesh and souls. Satan goes around like a roaring lion, and he is looking for anyone to devour. He wants to take you. He wants to drown any influence you have. He wants to ruin you for anything you ever wanted to do for the Lord. So how do you protect yourself from Satan? Let's look at the Lord Jesus, who was taken into the desert and was tempted in Matthew 4:4-10. Jesus fought the enemy with the Word of God. And if you know God's Word, you put Satan at a disadvantage because you have the power of God working in your life. Another point, it'll protect you from discouragement. And I think we're going through these times now. I think there's an awful lot of people who are actually quite discouraged. Two disciples on one occasion who left Jerusalem after the crucifixion, they were depressed. They were discouraged. They thought it was all over. Christ died and they didn't know that he had resurrected. So they're walking toward Emmaus and talking about their hopelessness. They were sad, they were discouraged, they were depressed about the situation that they saw. Then all of a sudden, Jesus comes alongside and begins to talk with them. And after Jesus encouraged them, they said, "Did our heart not burn within us when he talked to us on the road? When he opened the scriptures to us?" In Luke 24:32. What do you do when you get to that point when you're discouraged and you don't know what to do? Go to the friend who sticks closer to you than any brother or sister could. Listen to his word. If you discipline yourself to do that, you too will discover, like the disciples, that your heart will burn within you. God's word will come in. It will dissipate those discouraging thoughts. It'll take away the things that drive you down. It will be something that will help lift you up. God's word is there to protect you from discouragement. It'll promote success in whatever you do. And I'm not promoting the prosperity gospel here, so please be cautious as to see where we're going with this. But being in the Word of God gives you the opportunity to be more successful than you would otherwise. In fact, Psalm 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the way of the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners, that take or sit in the company of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night." That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. His leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Whenever you are in the Word of God, you are in a position to be successful in whatever you do. And if we use the Word of God's definition of success, we can really see how that works. The Bible's principles for family, finances, business relationships, anything else in areas of your life will make it possible, if you follow the Word of God, to be successful in those areas. It doesn't have to be the biggest, the best, the richest. What it means is pleasing in God's sight in terms of what you've accomplished and how you've accomplished it. The Word of God promises us that when we make it a substance of our life, it will help us succeed in God's sight, and that's something no other book will. It'll prepare you for powerful praying. Consider John 15:7, where we read, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, it will be done for you." How does this work? It helps you to know what to ask for. When you read the Word of God, you get a sense of God's will. And when you ask in God's will, he gives it to you. So it will prepare you for how to pray. It points you to salvation. And this is what the book is all about. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14-15, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned. Have been convinced of, for you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through your faith in Jesus Christ." There are people who have gone to church their whole life and never given their life to Christ. They bought into the idea of a system and not a savior. You become a Christian through reading the Word of God. The plan of salvation is in this book, the Holy Bible. Christ died for you and me, for our sin. He paid the penalty that we should have paid. He died on the cross for us. That is the message in his book. I have a question for you. Are you in the Word? If not, start reading the Word of God now. Find some time in the morning. Sometime. Anytime. Whatever works for you. Make it happen. Spend a few moments with God and in His Word. The practice of reading the Bible will have this purifying effect on your heart and your mind. Let nothing take the place of this daily exercise. But be careful. Billy Graham once wrote, he said, when we approach the Bible as history and biography, we approach the Bible in the wrong spirit. We must read the Bible not as historians seeking information, he says, but men and women seeking God. It's a living book that can be trusted for its advice and direction and knowledge of God. If you're not a Christian and you don't have the motivation to do that, then you won't understand any word of it when you read it. If you aren't a Christian, you don't have that ability to comprehend the Word of God as He meant it to be understood. And the first step of understanding the Word of God is knowing the God of the Word. And you can't know Him unless you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're not a devoted reader and studier of the Word of God, begin that practice today. No investment of time will repay greater temporal or eternal dividends than hiding God's Word in your heart. And we begin this new year, we're reminded again of what the Bible really does for God's people. The Bible has a unique ministry in all our lives. And if you spend time in God's Word, it will come alive. I'm asking you all to be part of something really wonderful. We're all in a lockdown. So we're continuing to dealing with numbers of COVID, numbers rising daily. We're restricted in so many ways. So in the most part, we all are home, or you really should be. Are you willing to commit to joining together with me in reading all of the Psalms during the month of January? There's something wonderful for all of us to be reading God's holy word together. Why the Psalms, you may ask? Well, if ever during a pandemic and you want comfort, read Psalm 23. Want to meet God intimately? Read Psalm 103. Learn a new prayer? Psalm 136. Learn more about God? Psalm 92. Do you want to know how to come to God each day? Read Psalm 5. To understand why you should read the Bible? Psalm 119. To know God is in control? Psalm 146. To give thanks to God? Psalm 136. Do you see the pattern here? Pick a time that works for you. Commit to reading God's holy word daily with others in this time. All you have to do is commit to reading 5 psalms a day. It's not a big commitment, but it is a glorious time in the Word of God. So I'm encouraging you during this time, meet God in His Word. But you have to get started now because we're already on day 3 and you're 3 days behind. Let's commit to growing in God's Word. Let's learn so much more about our Creator. And as we learn so much more about our Creator, we learn so much more about ourselves. Spend time in God's holy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you and your amazing grace has enabled us to know truth, love truth, live truth, proclaim truth, and worship you in truth and spirit. And yet, oh God, we face the reality of our daily lives and we know that sin exists in us. We know the struggles that we face, the worries, all things that seek to drag us under. Help us, oh God, as we go through these times of difficulty, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. May we faithfully follow humble examples of Jesus, loving Him more sincerely as we spent time in your word. Give us courage, boldness. To clearly communicate His love, may we be controlled by His Spirit, and may we walk faithfully in His steps. Fill us with the divine wisdom from your holy word. These things we pray. Amen. I would invite you to please rise to receive the blessing. May the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine in our hearts, transform our lives, and brighten the world. And the blessing of God the Father Almighty, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you always. Amen.